You know where that song comes from? The song comes from a struggle that a young woman was having. She's on a praise team at a church in Dallas called Upper Room. And from my understanding of it, that she was just in worship and she was dealing with a whole lot of heaviness and dreariness in her life. And the song just came out as she was on stage, that this is how I fight my battles. And that was the first line that just came out, just this is how I fight my battles, this is how I fight my battles. And then what came afterwards were the verses. And then I remember when Michael W. Smith took it on and had a cover, he started the song by, quoting Isaiah. I think it's Isaiah. It says, "For a spirit of weariness, put on the garment of praise." That's how we fight our battles. Even in the face of whatever attempts to disrupt, put on a garment of praise. That's how we fight our battles, yeah? This is the weapon of our warfare. This is the weapon of our warfare, our song. The melody that we have because he has given us a reason to sing. Yeah? And so we posture ourselves in gratitude and in praise and in prayer in the midst of anything that would come against. In the midst of anything that would come against. That's our posture. Yeah? So, Father, we thank you that we have weapons. And we thank you that they're mighty to bring down strongholds. And that you've given them to us through Christ Jesus to wage war, not in the natural or according to the flesh, but from declaring the victory that's ours in Christ Jesus, that this is how we fight our battles. So we thank you for this. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen. All right, good evening. Have a seat. Have a seat. Have a seat. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, everybody. Mucho bueno, mucho bueno. How's everybody doing tonight? Did anybody get a Sabbath nap? Anybody get that good Sabbath nap? Yeah. I was, I remember the days when my mama would be like, "All right, you and your sister go downstairs and, you know, do whatever you guys do and don't come back up for 2 hours." All right? And you know that me and my sister, what we would do is we would put on a Heritage Singers cassette. Y'all remember the Heritage Singers? What y'all know about the Heritage Singers? Y'all know something about the Heritage Singers? Y'all don't know nothing about the Heritage. We got some old school Heritage Singers fans. There's a lighthouse, right? The lighthouse one, right? What y'all know about that? I remember when they came with, like 1992, they came with a new contemporary sound. Anybody remember those albums? Like, "What is this that I feel deep inside? Whatever is up, my soul on fire, whatever it is." No? Ah, y'all ain't Adventists. Yeah, so me and my sister, we had the Heritage Singers albums, and we would, every year they used to come to Atlantic Union College in Massachusetts, and they would have a concert, remember that? Every single fall, and it was so dope, and my sister was such a big fan. Oh my goodness, my sister's a fangirl for the weirdest things. Like she would drive across the country to go to a Heritage Singers concert or a Gaither Vocal Band concert, right? Yeah. She's like, "Say less." No cap, right? And so my sister and I, we would put the Heritage Singers cassette in the afternoon, and we would mime the whole thing with two remotes in our hands, right? Even when they introduced themselves, right? And even my sister loved being Val, right? She's like, "Hi, I'm Val Mace." See, all right, some of y'all, I was checking y'all's Adventism. Some of y'all laugh, so you know. So, yeah, my sister, man, we used to do that, and we couldn't disrupt my mother for the whole concert, right? So let's do the whole concert. It was about an hour and a half, and my mama would rest, man. And now that I'm older, I don't even have kids, and now that I'm older, I understand the beauty of taking a day off, right? And I'm so glad that God's like, "Well, I gave you this thing as a gift. You should totally do it, right?" I'm totally down. So thank the Lord for this beautiful day. As before we get into things, I want to raise a hand. Some of y'all need Bibles. Bibles. We're going to do a little bit of Bibles. We got the boys with Bibles coming around. All right. We got the boys with Bibles coming around. Yeah. Anybody raise a hand, and we're going to go. Raise a hand, and we'll get some Bibles. All right, and what we want to do just for the last little bit is just to basically impart just a good word to be released on, right? And I want to take you to Matthew, if you don't mind. You go with me to the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew. And I'm going to read some things to you out of the book of Matthew, and then we're just going to let it sit. Especially maybe chapter 5 to some degree is where we're going to be. Matthew chapter 5. If that's all right. Is that all right? Yeah? Okay. Anybody else need a Bible? You good? Everybody got a Bible? All right. Now, here's the thing. Given everything that we've talked about, I want you to take a look as I read this. Just think about the body. All right? Just think about the body in relationship to this. Because this thing, at least for me, after we got this revelation of the body, I asked the team actually a few weeks ago to be reading Matthew 5 through 7 intentionally. And we just did that as a team exercise. And as we read it, we found that Jesus Christ uses language of the body over and over in this passage. And we just kind of want to let it sit and share with y'all and see if after all this week, if just the plain teaching of the Lord doesn't hit a little different. Is that all right? Yeah? So I'm going to be doing a little reading, and then we'll say a few things. We'll call up the team to sing a song or two. We'll celebrate a little bit, and then we'll hug everybody and go home. All right? Is that all right? Yeah? And Craig wants to hug everybody. Look at him. Yeah, he's... All right, man. Matthew 5. Look at this. Seeing the crowds, he went up the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Oh, man. Okay. I already feel it. What poverty in spirit did you have so that the kingdom might be yours? What poverty in spirit is it that we had so that the kingdom might be ours? The poverty in spirit that we have is the very spirit we were created for. So that those who were actually poor in the righteousness and in the spirit that he wanted to give, this is an indicator that we would actually receive it. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And where is the kingdom of heaven? Where is it? Right here. Right? So already, it already starts. Blessed are the poor in spirit. If we have a knowledge of where the New Testament trajectory is already headed, this poverty in spirit is actually going to be solved by him who comes up in resurrection body and in our bodies fills us with the thing he says we're poor of. Says, I blessed are you if you're missing this thing. Because if you're missing it, you're going to get filled. And blessed are you who know that you're missing this thing. Because if you know that you're missing this thing, then you'll come to the fountain to get filled. But it's those who say that they don't have anything to be filled of, that believe that they're not poor in spirit, that the kingdom doesn't belong to them. Why? Not because he doesn't want to give it to them, but because they don't have room to receive it. So blessed are the poor in spirit who have some room to receive that thing he's going to give them. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. I love that idea. I know it's heavy, but why is it that we mourn? That's right. We mourn because we love them. We mourn because we recognize that things aren't the way they ought to be. When we mourn, it's a lament that which ought to be is not present. And so Jesus Christ already, he's already indicating, blessed are you who mourn. Because in your mourning, you're already testifying that there is something wrong. And those who mourn, I promise you, I will comfort you. And I will comfort you with the very thing that will bring your mourning to an end with the revelation of truth. Because think about it, the comforter comes in the power of the agreement of the words of Jesus, which are truth. And as he brings the truth, he brings comfort. for there is comfort in the truth. Right? I didn't make that up. I actually stole that from Ellen White. So she says it. I mean, she got some good things to say. yes, she does. You got some good things to say. So blessed are those who mourn, for you will be comforted. Now, I love the idea that the comforting is through. Watch how Jesus is so intricate in just a couple of lines. What does he call the Holy Spirit? The Comforter. What did he say in the first beatitude? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. What do you think Jesus is trying to get at already? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be. Ooh, Lord Jesus. Blessed are those who what? Hunger and thirst. Man, you know Jesus don't use words that he don't mean. Jesus don't use words that he don't mean. Jump over to John chapter 7. Stay in Matthew. Stay in Matthew. Keep a finger. But John, jump over to Matthew 7. You passed. Good for you. Good for you. What did I say? That's exactly what I said. John 7. Yeah. Actually, how about you want to jump to John chapter 4? Because they're connected. I promise you, we'll get back to the Beatitudes. Like, does he write this stuff down? Is there notes? Nope. We read the Bible to know him and to know who we are in light of him, not to prepare for a Bible study. You can give a Bible study when you know who you are and you know who he is, because you're always going to have something to say. I promise you, you will. You don't have to worry about what you got to say, because the moment you get up and you've been with him, he'll give you something to say. He will. I promise you, he will. Like, where's this guy? Tyler, where you at? There he is. Huh? Can't miss that. Sing! Right? It gets reckless on Saturday night. This guy right here, man, the encounters, I don't know, maybe we can talk about it a little later, but the encounters that he's had with people, right, where he didn't know what to say, and all of a sudden he opens his mouth, it's like, da 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 da. Huh? Even his wife that y'all met earlier last week, there's a young lady who did not want to say, but because she's actually been in the secret place, she can't help but say. Huh? Right? It's so true. And Morgan is one who doesn't want to say. She's like, no, I don't want to. Listen, you need Jesus, right? You're like, whoa, she just come for your life. All right, Matthew 5, blessed. Yeah, no, yeah, don't worry. I got it. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Just wanted to frame it for you. Now you go to John chapter 4, and we see a story about a woman at a well, yeah? And she's thirsty, right? And I ain't going to do that thing where I turn that around. She's literally thirsty for water, okay? She's literally thirsty for water, right? And what's it? All right. We could go that other route, but she's thirsty for water. And look at what she says in verse 11. The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob?" You notice how she asked, "Where do you get that living water?" "He gave us a well to drink from it himself, as he did his sons and his livestock." Look what Jesus said to her. "Everyone who drinks of this water will be, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him and her a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Now go to John 7, all right, just a little bit down. And notice this, verse 37. Now, you got to understand that this feast that Jesus is at, where he's about to say these things, is the last day of the great feast, where they would actually mix water with wine at the temple, right? Water with blood. And there was this great, great, great ceremony that revolved around water, right? Right now I'm blanking on the specifics, but there was this great ceremony that revolved around water and God's provision, and Jesus stands up in the middle of this. Now, man, Jesus is bold. Did y'all know Jesus? I wouldn't say he's reckless, but he's borderline. He's borderline because if you know Jesus is actually being told, like, hey, man, go there. If earlier in the chapter, he's told to go by his brothers, and he's like, nah, it's not my time. I shouldn't go. They're like, well, somebody who's doing this stuff publicly should go. He's like, nah. Plus, the people are looking for him, like, who's this guy? You know, he's running afoul of the law. And you got to understand that all of the nation of Israel is there at this great event, right? And they're having this one ceremony with the water. And everybody's curious about Jesus because rumors have been flying around about him healing people. All of a sudden, he stands up in the middle of the feast, unannounced and uninvited, stands up and says, verse 37, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now, this he said about whom those who believed in him were to. So go back to Matthew 5. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. What is Jesus already introducing? And already these three beatitudes. He's dancing around the Spirit. Because it's through the Spirit that we have life. It's through the Spirit that we will have comfort. It's through being poor in spirit that we receive his fullness. And it's through the Spirit that we actually participate in the very righteousness that he says that if we thirst for it, it is ours. And then he tells us in John chapter 7 that because of this thirst for righteousness, he will actually give it to us if we come to him, and from out of us will come a well in which we will never thirst again, because we know where to get that which we've always thirsted for. And here's the dope thing, is that if you're willing to believe it, thank you. If you're willing to believe it, it's already yours. So blessed are those. Blessed are those who thirst for righteousness, who hunger for this thing, because it's yours. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. You remember in Matthew 18, where that brother, the story goes, and just to rehearse it, the parable goes that there's a king who's settling accounts, and there is one account in which he is owed a great debt. That servant comes to the king and begs the king to give him time to pay the debt, and the king, taking pity on him, actually releases him from the debt. Subsequently, the servant who's just been released from his great debt goes and finds somebody else who owes him a little bit of money, and that person who owes him a little bit of money, this servant actually chokes him out and throws him in prison until he pays them the little bit of money. Servants of the king see this ungrateful servant requiring that little bit of money after having been forgiven such a great sum, and they ponder at this and say, how could this be? Why would he do that? So they bring this ungrateful servant back to the king, present to the king that this ungrateful servant who's just received this great release was not willing to extend that same release to somebody who owed him such a small sum. Subsequently, the king, coming into the knowledge that this ungrateful servant did not give the mercy that he had received, shut him up until he was willing and able to pay everything that he was owed, because that which the king offered this ungrateful servant did not give freely. You with me? Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. That's for y'all. Who is it in our lives that might not deserve our mercy, but should have it anyway? Who is that person in your life that there's obstacle with, and that you might know that you might need to extend mercy and be fully okay with never receiving an apology from them. Because you don't need. I promise you, I read that in the book. We owe nobody nothing but love, and nobody owes us nothing because he's given us everything. So who do you need to extend mercy to? And here's the good thing, y'all. You can only extend that kind of mercy in the Spirit. Which, if we've been following the Beatitudes by now, hopefully we got it. You with me? Let's keep reading. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. This one's real quick. But it takes two to tango. It only takes one to make peace. Yeah? It takes two to tango. It only takes one to make peace. I mean, this is the conversation that I had with Tyler over and over again as he would call me. Jonathan, I feel, she feel like she's not loving me right now. It don't matter. And I just feel attacked. It don't matter. You don't have to prove your love to your wife. Do you love your wife? Yep. Yep. So go ahead and love your wife. But I don't feel like, it don't matter, no feelings. It'll take two for y'all to go back and forth, but it only takes one to make peace. So go ahead and put these things to death and posture yourself in the mercy that you think she doesn't deserve, but give it to her because Christ has empowered you to give it because he gave you something you didn't deserve. So then become the peace according to the mercy that is yours because you're established in the righteousness that has been given to you through Spirit. And even in this moment of discomfort, you've been comforted by him because once when you were poor, he filled you up. You with me? I bet you I could press you right now. Think of somebody you need to make peace with. I'll give you a few seconds. Then make peace. If you need to make peace with God, Bray, then make peace, because he's already made peace with you. See, because it takes two to tango, my man, right? It takes two to fight. But he never fought with you. He gave his life so that you might know how much you're worth. And since he gave his life, he's already made peace with you, and he wants you to come into that peace so that you might know how great your value is in his eyes. You know, Jesus didn't come to just punish sin. Jesus came to die, to reveal how valuable we were to him, and he was willing to spill blood in order to prove how far he would go to demonstrate his love, even while we were killing him. Right? Yeah, man, that's all right. Yeah, that's all right. But it's yours. It's yours. That peace, Braden, right? It belongs to you. And since that peace belongs to you, if you're willing to receive it, you have the fullness of God as a gift to you because you're a son of God. Think about it. Here's something real good. Man, thank you, Jesus. Verse 10. Just think about, you know what happens when you make peace the way God wants to make peace? You become a threat to the status quo. You know why? Because you're willing to be wronged. And if you're willing to be wronged and somebody next to you thinks that the offense that's been committed against them requires some sort of correction for them to be okay, you're messing up their justifications. Right? And when you start messing up their justifications for them to live in deceit, all of a sudden you become the enemy. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Right? But that's the strength of this thing. And I promise you that when we live that way, we will encounter persecution. Because our posture towards somebody is not willing to seek for a justification for me to be offended by you. Like, I got brothers and sisters that I call brothers and sisters that would be really offended with some of the people that I've hung out with recently. Given some things that I carry every day and I can't take off, if you know what I'm saying, and given where I'm from and what people think I ought to stand for, they get really funny if, say, I hang out with somebody that wears a red hat that I might not put on. Then all of a sudden, I might get called a name because I'm willing to extend a certain type of peace and not position that person as my enemy, although I might not agree, and still be willing to be in harmony and in fellowship and not take somebody's political position as a reason for me to be offended. Why I gotta be offended because of who you voted for? I ain't gotta be offended. I don't have to live in offense. Here's what I can live. I can live in righteousness, and I can call out deceit, right? Like, when it comes to this here thing and how this here thing is so charged in America, oh, we can name it, right? We can name it. I named it last week, right? There's a stain on the history of America that still affects us to this day. What you think that because of that stain, I'm going to let that stain speak louder than the blood that has purchased me, cleansed me from offense, and positioned somebody else as my enemy? Now watch. That doesn't free and doesn't undo injustices. That doesn't mean we don't take responsibility and call out our sins, whether they be individual or corporate. You call out sins, individual and corporate. Right? But I'm a peacemaker. I got to be. Because if the very people that killed him aligned with political parties he extended forgiveness to, who am I to not do the same? That's some real good arrogance right there. For me to not posture and say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I don't think y'all heard what I said. Oh, Father, forgive them, because sometimes they don't know what they do. I promise y'all, if we actually live this thing out and live free, we're going to offend a whole mess of people. We're going to offend a whole mess of people. And that sort of judgment starts in the house of God. Right? We've received that backlash, you know. I got this guy who's been accused of sexual abuse, went through the court system, and it was processed, and he's walking free. And because I'm extending to him the reconciliation that God extended to me, all of a sudden we're persona non grata in certain places because we're actually practicing what Jesus did. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about, yeah? Man, it got real. Verse 10. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the... Isn't that good? Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Man, this here life is not... This here Christian walk is not about us getting something and us being better tomorrow than we were today. It isn't about vats full and blessings. Praises go up, blessings go down. Nah, praises go up. We have blessing, even if the praises didn't go up, because he gave it to us in Christ Jesus. And then sometimes when the praises go up, it sounds like he's really, really silent. So you better believe you have the blessings even when you don't see him, because he's already spoken them. Right? So let's not use slogans as a way to actually position ourselves in a legalism and then calling it spirituality. You know, you got to praise him so the blessings come down. No, you don't. Blessings come down anyway because you've already given them to us in Christ Jesus. We just got to believe him. But we might get persecuted. Because this is this life. This is this life, my beloved. This life. Listen, if somebody isn't offended by your Christianity, and not because the culture wars, but simply because you refuse to be positioned or live in offense and just go, like, if somebody doesn't, like, see you as a stench because you're like, oh, I'm willing to just endure. Like, I got this guy who's ministered to me greatly. After he got saved, he was the guy that was always willing to take the terrible shifts at work. And every single thing that nobody wanted to do, he'd step up. And he'd be like, I'll do it. I'll do it. I'll do it. You know what his buddies in the factory said to him? They said, stop. You're making us look bad. And he was like, you don't have to do it. He told me, like, you don't have to do it. I'm willing to do it because I want to. I'm a willing, eager, cheerful servant. But in being that, he was actually now beginning to be persecuted from his friends, hearing, oh, look at this goody two shoes. Oh, he thinks he's better than us. Look at him going around. So, like, if you're not receiving that sort of stuff, like, I hope sometimes you do. It'd be good for us. But that's guaranteed part of this here life, right? Is that okay? Are y'all receiving what I'm saying? Okay. Verse 8, yes, sir. Oh, thank you. Skip that one. Verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, they shall see God. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. What this spoke to me, and I don't know if I ever made it to the team, but man, this spoke to me about secret place. Because the pureness in my heart might not match the feelings of my body. The pureness of my heart might not match the feelings of my body, but it's from the pureness of my heart that I live, so I go into the secret place and see God, because what he sees is the heart, right? And it's, listen, my beloved, man, there's some of y'all in here that might think like, oh, well, Jonathan, you say all these really good things, and like, but I'm still living this way, I'm still living that way. The fact that you say I'm still is the evidence that you don't want to, so it is the proof positive that you have a qualified heart. Be kind to yourself. The fact that you still, I'm still, that's evidence of a qualified heart, because there's life within you trying to just burst forth, right? So this is the secret of the gospel. Don't you beat yourself up in there. You look and you look at that heart and you say, Father, I see a struggle, but I'm believing that through you, I have the heart that you say is mine in Christ Jesus. So I'm putting my heart there. And as you put your heart there, you actually receive and see him for who he is, because he's a merciful God. He's a graceful God who will never position you outside of what he's always seen you as. And if you're willing to have a heart that purely sees his goodness given to you, I promise you will never be anything else in his gaze, because he's never actually seen you as anything other than what he created you as. It is our sin that has separated us from him when we believed a lie. And in believing a lie, we lost the spirit we were created for. And in not having the spirit we were created for, we had a poverty that we did not know we actually existed in until Christ came and revealed to us our need for the Father's love. Because we had been searching for love in all the wrong places. Right? So it was the poverty that we existed in that we didn't know that we had that he came to illuminate in order to reveal the good gift that he would give us because of who we've always been to him. Verse 11, blessed are you when others revile you, persecute you, utter all kinds of evil against you, falsely on my account. Look at who said it first. You know, we take Paul and we're like, Paul tells us to rejoice. Nah, he just copies the master. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. So for they persecuted the prophets who were before you. I'll just let Jesus say this to y'all. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? Any of y'all like a little salt on your food? Brings out the flavor. You know, y'all bring out the flavor in the world. You know that? We're supposed to bring out the flavor. Yo, did you know that when people persecute you for righteousness because they see you living a holiness that's contrary to the culture, you're actually manifesting a hope that they desire? And that's why it can be upsetting, because they don't know how to harness or how to process the discomfort that you yourself are presenting, because you're not falling into agreement with the deception that they may have lived from. So even while they persecute you, stand fast that you are the hope that they've been looking for. Right? That's why we don't count it against people, because they've been living in offense and we know better. We know who and what they are, so we treat them according to the truth of what they are. And as you treat somebody according to the truth of what they are, you actually flavor their life. Yeah? It's awesome. It's awesome. You flavor their life. I got evidence of that. Just because God's been so good, right? My brother, where's Knucklehead Craig right there, right? I love him with all my heart. This is my kid brother. I love this dude so much, right? But I promise you, there were times when he thought I was seeing him as something other than what I saw him as. And boy, man, we had some moments. My man would get tense. And, oh, man, this guy, right? I think he might have called some of his friends about it, right? But I promise you, I had the privilege of seeing my beloved young man there always through spirit because of the gift I'd had received. It wasn't out of my own strength. I promise you, it was out of the spirit. And because I was able to see this young man in spirit, I promise you, that's my little dude for the rest of my life, right? It sounds crazy, but I would tell you that because I positioned him in spirit and we had that relationship, well, you'd have to fill in the rest, right? But I would say that the dude stands strong in gospel, right? Is that all right? Is that fair to say? Yeah. Yeah. And like, I promise you, it's a super thing where you know you're the salt of the earth and you don't let somebody else's flavor stain your flavor. And their flavor doesn't position you against them, but you know who and what you are, so you see them according to the truth of who they are. And if they're willing to receive it, you found a brother or a sister in Christ, and then you duplicate and multiply. Yeah? You're the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be stored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. Watch this. This is so good. This is such good stuff. You are the light of the world. Watch this. This is so good. You know that little song? This little light of mine, I'm a little shine. You don't have a little light. Huh? You ain't got a little light, Sophie. Huh? You are the light. Right? You are the light. You don't have a little light. You are the light. So let your light shine. Let your life testify to his goodness so that others might see your life and give glory to your Father in heaven. I read that somewhere. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all those in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they might see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Man, this stuff is so rich. He packs so much. Do not think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I've not come to abolish them, but to fill them up. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until it all is accomplished. Yeah. Yeah. Verse 43. We'll wrap up here. I encourage you to read this on your own and ask Spirit to reveal to you things from this powerful stuff. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. That's real, y'all. Like, there's people that have stood against us in the ministry. And so I call some of my ministry partners and I say, homeboy, let's pray for them. And we do that. Because we have to love your enemies, those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. See what Jesus, what God does for everybody. So that's us. It is so free when you can behave with everybody the same way you behave with anybody. That is freedom. When you could behave with everybody the same way you would with anybody, right? When I could tell somebody like, yo, come on the road with me and live my life and see how I live, and I promise you it agrees with what I preach. Not because I have some great power, but because I believe him. And he's been good to us. And in him being good to us, he's empowered us to live a life that he says is ours. And it's just so good. It's so good. Like, ask the team. It's so good. Just want to encourage you in this. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Like, that's a word right there, right? You know, love is real simple, y'all, right? It's just, it's patient, it's kind, it's not irritable, it doesn't get provoked, it doesn't keep a record of wrongs, it believes all things, it hopes all things, right? It endures all things. It's just a posture, right? It's just a posture that you can have. Verse 48, therefore you must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Here's the good news. You look like your daddy. Is that all right? Yeah. You look like your daddy. And since you look like your daddy, you have the privilege of living like your daddy. And you have the privilege of living like your daddy if you actually get to know your daddy. Because your daddy will teach you to live the way he created you to live. So we're going to wrap up here. And what we want to encourage you with, Tyler, yeah, get on them keys. What we just want to encourage you is the simplicity of this thing. There's victory, there's healing, and there's a life to be lived in intimacy with your Father as you're rooted in the Word. Has anybody had some secret place time this week? Anybody had some good secret place time this week that, like, the Lord spoke a word? Yeah, it's been good. I promise, it's yours, it's right there. It's yours. Just, if you hunger and thirst for righteousness, he'll give you something to drink. If you're poor in spirit, he'll fill you up. If you need comfort, there's truth that will comfort you, right? And as this is all going on, are you persecuted for righteousness' sake? Well, praise the Lord. Pray for some boldness and some endurance. Keep on marching. Is there somewhere where you need to make peace? Make peace. Listen, y'all, we can't receive this stuff for our benefit. We receive this stuff for other people's benefit. You receive the gospel for other people's benefit. Why? Because you no longer need nothing when you receive it. And I mean that in the sense of, like, we were created for community. I love having my team with me, right? We were created for a relationship, but we don't live at each other's expense. I don't require from somebody else for us to be. So we try to posture ourselves in outdoing and honoring one another. Like, I'm always telling Ed, like, I'm trying to outdo you. It's the thing. It's our life. It's ours. Let's just live it out in Holy Spirit power. So there's not much more for us to say. Thank you so much for this fabulous week. Thank you so much for your faithfulness and gospel. Thank you so much for your testimony to us and the team. Thank you so much for being the sort of people I knew you were, and that's why I knew that at PVC I could bring people that needed to see a community in action. Because now what you guys have testified is going to reverberate to the corners of this country because they're going to take it with them. So we want to thank you for that. And above all, we pray that you might live in the wholeness, the healing that Jesus Christ paid such a high price. And we pray that you might live out in love according to these Beatitudes. I pray that you be the blessed as you live this truth out in spirit. Is that all right? All right, so we'll sing this song. God bless y'all.